You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 28th, 2022, you go to rumble.com. You can enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you right into our studio. If you join us, welcome. I hadn't had a chance to check yet on some of the responses at this point. I do see that we have more and more of you watching Rumble after it airs later because you can't do it right now. I appreciate you doing that. Hope you're enjoying it. It's not exactly being on TV as a news anchor, which I don't really care to do anymore anyway. And I get a little carried away. Yeah, I do. Somebody asked me yesterday, a good friend of mine said, well, here's the way he posed it. He said, I heard you say the word damn on the air. Why would you say that? I said, because that's what I was feeling at the time, and it wasn't that far out of bounds. He has a difference of opinion. That's okay. I respect his opinion, but it is Larry Connors, USA, and I'll say pretty much what I want. Or not. There's some things, obviously, I want. Anyway, glad to have you. Spread the word to others, will you? We do appreciate you sharing. By the way, you will love this. Joe Biden, President Biden, was being asked during News Nation's rush hour about bringing food prices down. Hear this. This affects you. And about what are you going to do about getting food prices down and packaged goods, all that stuff? What are you going to do? He said, well, here's the deal. He said, it's packaged goods. Packaged goods are really what's going up, not just the things you pick up, like I guess eggs are not considered packaged. I think they are. Milk, that comes in a package of some type, doesn't it? I mean, you're not going out to milk the cow, are you? Some of you might try to milk a bull because you don't know genders. But aside from that, Biden said, you're going to see people not buying Kellogg's brand. You're going to see them buying other Raisin brand, which is going to be a dollar cheaper. Well, there's a slam on Kellogg's at the same time making it clear you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have something you didn't really want to have. And you're not going to be able to get the food and cereals you want, so you're going to have to buy the cheaper brand, which now is the price of what you were paying. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called on a hot mic yesterday. He was talking to President Biden as they were on the tarmac of Hancock Field Air National Guard Base at Syracuse after a speech Biden had given. And Schumer said, the state where we're going downhill is Georgia. This was said yesterday. That, of course, is where you have Herschel Walker in the running for the U.S. Senate seat held by Senator Warnock, despite allegations issued even yesterday by Gloria Allred that another woman's coming forward accusing Herschel Walker of paying for her to get an abortion. Schumer said, the state where we're going downhill is Georgia. It's hard to believe they'll go for Herschel Walker. But, he said, our early turnout in Georgia is huge, huge. So he's thinking maybe it won't be. And then when it came to John Fetterman's debate against Dr. Oz, Schumer said, it looks like the debate didn't hurt us too much in Pennsylvania, so that's good. In other words, they set a low standard for Fetterman, and they made it. The Republican National Committee says it's going to be able to invest more money into all of the state parties across the country, more than ever before in a midterm cycle. In the meantime, Republican Nevada U.S. Senate candidate Laxalt, gubernatorial candidate Lombardo, they are leading. They are leading in Nevada with Hispanic voters. That's one of the most important voting blocks to secure a GOP victory. They are leading, according to Rasmussen report, by double digits. That's big. And in the meantime, in Ohio, Congressman Tim Ryan, running against Republican J.D. Vance for that open U.S. Senate seat, still refuses to say if he will support a statewide ballot initiative that would prohibit illegals from voting. He won't commit to that? Shouldn't be that surprising, should it? You know, there have been gaps in fencing along the U.S.-Mexico border. Well, what you're now seeing, because Arizona governor said, I got tired of waiting for Biden to do something about it, they start stacking shipping containers along portions of the border, building them as high as they can, as far and long as they can, so illegals are not going to get in that easy. And the man, as you heard on the network news, who assaulted Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, tried to tie him up till Nancy got home. He was waiting for her and kept saying, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" He attacked Paul Pelosi with a hammer. The 82-year-old is hospitalized, expected to make a full recovery. I've got another part of this story that's an interesting reaction from one of our listeners. I'll share that with you in the next hour. In other words, between that and the concern about no diesel fuel, big story still ahead.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
This summer, Germans began clear-cutting ancient forests to heat their homes. In Poland, families queued up for hours to buy coal, just like they did 150 years ago. In the UK, the government projected that more than 10,000 Britons will freeze to death, will die this winter for lack of heating fuel. Freeze to death. In England, that is not supposed to happen in a first world country. So Europe is moving backward at high speed, and it's not clear where it'll end. So the question is, why is this happening? And the answer for once is a very simple one. The war in Ukraine, that's why it's happening. A huge percentage of Europe's energy came from Russia. Those imports have now been banned, supposedly to punish Vladimir Putin. What's the result of this punishment? Well, the Russian ruble is now far stronger than it was a year ago. The European economy, meanwhile, is collapsing. Europeans are much poorer than they were when the war in Ukraine started.
That is Tucker Carlson from his report on our increasing energy shortage, specifically that we're going to run out of diesel fuel, according to the latest government reports, within 20, 25 days before Thanksgiving. And diesel fuel is paramount. We'll come to that in a moment. But you heard him say that in Europe, they're already cutting down historic forests, trying to make sure they've got fuel for the winter. They've already been told to expect that we're going to have 30% less fuel available just in Germany. And so they're going to have to figure out how they're going to cut down consumption. And that's assuming there are no further restrictions. And Ukraine and that war definitely affects them, because once that started, the Nordic pipelines and so forth were not fully activated. One ready to go, it wasn't. Then you had the sabotage on it. You've had other efforts. And Trump, and not just Trump, but others have warned Europe in the past, do not hook yourself to Soviet communist gas oil supplies. Reagan made the same statement to them. They've ignored all of these warnings up to now. This is as close as you can get about that story, which I know many of you have heard, where the guy's in his house, the water is rising. A truck comes through, a big truck, says, "Hey, we'll help you get out of here, buddy." He said, "Oh, the Lord's going to get me. The Lord's going to save me." Well, the water gets higher and higher. Now the guy's, you know, in a second floor window trying to, you know, some kind of help. The guy comes by on a boat just a couple of feet below his second store window and said, "Look, well, hey, we got a boat. Get in the boat. We'll get you out of here. We'll save you." "No, no, the Lord's going to save me." Well, now the water's gotten so high, he's up to the roof. He's standing on the peak of the roof. A helicopter comes by and says, "Hey, we'll drop a rope. We'll get you out of there. We'll get you safe." "No, the Lord's going to save me." Now, I believe in prayer and what the Lord would do, but the Lord expects you to be smart as well. And in those three cases, he passed them up. So then when finally he dies in the flood, he gets to heaven and he asks the Lord, "I thought you would save me." He said, "I sent a guy in a truck. I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. You didn't take any of them." This is where we are right now with Germany and Europe, because they were told repeatedly, do not couple yourself on reliance on Russia and China for your oil and fuel. For that matter, don't even do it with Saudi Arabia. That's why when this nation, under Trump, I don't care whether you like him or not, look at the facts, under Trump, we were not only energy independent, we were an energy net exporter. We still did some trade with various countries, bought some oil and fuel from them to maintain trade alliances. We didn't have to. We are energy independent. We have, and I can't help but emphasize it again, under our feet in this country, in the continental states, in our offshore wells and land available if we'd use them, we have 300 to 500 years of oil and natural gas available. But a lot of the countries in Europe went along with the Green Pact plan. We're going to get rid of our coal mines, we're going to go all electric, we're going to get away from fossil fuels, and right now, Germany has been reopening some of its coal mines, cutting down some historic forest because they're going to be out of gas. And in fact, here's a quote. This quote from their, what's this guy's title? He's in Germany. He's considered to be the head of the Federal Network Agency. I don't know if that's correct. If I said it wrong, I'm sorry. My German is about as good as my French, and both of them are fractions of Texas Hispanic lingo thrown in, and they make no sense to me either sometimes. So, but bottom line, he said in an interview, he said, reference predictions about a gas emergency, he said, "We'd only know about a gas shortage when it can no longer be stopped." What? Are you guys taking your lessons from Biden? When it slaps you in the face suddenly, uh-oh, we're out. Well, then you need to wake up. Tucker Carlson pointed that out, that a lot of the issues they're having there and we're having here go right back to the White House.
The Biden administration is doubling down on the self-destructive mistakes that are destroying the European Union. The White House banned Russian oil, natural gas, and coal. It was our moral duty. And then at the same time, the Biden administration crushed domestic oil production here by canceling oil and gas leases. And then, as if that wasn't enough, the Biden administration sold a piece of our strategic petroleum reserve, maybe this country's most important resource, to China. None of this hurt Putin in any way. All of it impoverishes the United States.
That last point, I've told you repeatedly about how many times Biden has robbed our strategic reserve, petroleum reserve, which is meant for true emergencies. It's a national security blanket for us. When Trump was in office, he got it back up to the top, 700 plus gallon, million gallons. Now we're down to maybe almost half of that, less than half of that, possibly. Worse we've been since the 80s, whatever. But the bottom line is, the Biden White House just continued to said, we're not going to open Keystone. We're not going to do additional drilling. We're not going to open up these new lands. Oh, at one point, Biden talked about doing it, but immediately the Interior Department said, oh, we got a lot of green activists who say we can't open those up. So, okay, we'll forget it. So we're not doing it here, and we could be helping our allies in Germany and the rest of Europe, but we're barely able to keep ourselves afloat at this point, and it's not going to get better. Here comes the possible tipping point. As I mentioned in the opening monologue, in case you missed it, I remind you, we can always go back and pull up a podcast of LarryConnorsUSA.com, find any podcast you want, or on our Rumble page now. In the opening monologue, if you doubt me, I said clearly, I said I looked at doing this story maybe a couple weeks ago, and I thought, well, I'll wait, and other things were in my front of my face, and I thought, you know, maybe I'm overreading it and something, and I haven't seen a lot of focus on it. And last week I got a little bit more concerned, but I still held off. Now I don't think we can. And it's not just because Tucker Carlson went into it last night. I started looking at figures this morning, and I thought, I've got to get on this story today. It is a frightening scenario. Listen to Tucker Carlson.
According to data from the Energy Information Administration, by the Monday of Thanksgiving week, that's 25 days from now, there will be no more diesel. So what's going to happen then? Well, everything will stop. That means trucks and trains and barges all unable to move. Farm equipment will shut down. There will be no deliveries because there will be no trucks. There will be no diesel generators. And then, inevitably, our economy will crash because everything runs on diesel fuel. Not on solar panels, not on wind farms, on diesel fuel. Diesel is not a negotiable commodity. You have to have diesel.
You have to have diesel. Trucks cannot use gas and pull the loads they have. Cargo ships can't. You have to have diesel. And if we're within 25 days of running out, and that's for the nation as a whole. Here's what piqued my interest this morning. I thought, I've got to look back into this. And then I realized Tucker Carlson had mentioned it last night. I did not see it, but I went back and looked at it because I was reading from the Economic Times news. Yeah, I tend to read some stuff from time to time. You think, why are you reading that? Well, I'm just looking for info. Sometimes it's valuable, sometimes it's not. But they were saying, according to people with knowledge of the situation, the Biden administration is examining methods to increase a rarely used emergency fuel stockpile in New England as the East Coast struggles with a lack of both gasoline and diesel. Now, I told you the other day that we have a heating oil supply up in the Northeast to help out, and they might have to start tapping into that. Now, they're pointing out here it also there's maybe gasoline and diesel there available, but it said, according to sources who weren't allowed to publicly discuss the internal White House discussions, officials are worried that the 1 million barrel reserve will not be sufficient to prevent a serious interruption this winter. So they're evaluating a number of measures to increase supplies. That is, again, for the Northeast, dealing with heating oil primarily and fuel in that region. But look at our entire nation. Right now, again, we're told that we could have only 25 days of diesel fuel supply available. Well, of course, the answer from the Biden administration from the beginning and going along with a woke crowd, let me correct that, not going along with them, being led around by the nose by the green pie in the sky crowd, whatever they want, wherever they go. I mean, folks who thought he was moderate, he wouldn't go that far. You're learning, aren't you? You are learning. You're paying the price to learn. Like me teaching you to play hold'em poker if you never played. Oh, you're going to learn the game, but it's going to cost you. Believe me, I'll make sure it costs you while I'm teaching you. We're going to learn this so-called moderate is nothing more than a puppet, a shell game for the cult leftists. And you're paying the price at the pump. You're paying at the food at your grocery store. And Biden says, well, then you'll just have to buy a cheaper brand of flakes. You can't get Kellogg flakes, get something cheaper. Well, it tastes like sawdust. Well, but you're going to buy it anyway. And you're still paying a dollar more for it than you would have. And you're probably paying more than what you would have paid for Kellogg originally because of our supply chain. And now we're going to have a shortage of trucks. Can you imagine if all the trucks in this nation came to a halt tomorrow, or let's say 25 days, you might make it to Thanksgiving. Then what happens? Electric. Oh, of course, electric. I mean, they are pushing that electric plant so big. VP Harris the other day was so excited and saying, we got to get away from diesel, too. And especially when it deals with our children and their school buses. Listen to this woman.
I have a particular fondness, I must tell you, for electric school buses. I love electric school buses. On a daily basis, 25 million children in our country every day go to school on those diesel-fueled school buses. And hundreds, thousands of school bus drivers are driving those buses, which are then these people These children, these adults, are inhaling what is toxic air.
Well, you know, pretty soon they won't have to inhale it because we might not have any diesel fuel for those school buses. I guess that will mean more parents have to get out in their cars if they can. That means more emissions. Well, or the kids will walk to school like we did in the old days. It took us 2 miles uphill going to school and 2 miles uphill going home in the bitter winter cold. And it might well be that pretty soon. And then you've got Michael Reagan, the head of the EPA. Oh, he is so excited about this new plan for these electric school buses.
And this is amazing. Close to $5 billion over 5 years will be dedicated to electrifying our yellow school buses. Think about our most precious cargo going to and from school every day. Yes, this is good for our children. It will lower the diesel emissions that come from school buses. It will be great for the school bus drivers that are transporting our kids to school each and every day. It'll also be good for our teachers who are assigned to do bus duty. So we're looking at emission reductions for the planet, health benefits, as well as American manufacturing. This is a win-win-win, and we're really, really, really excited about it.
Yeah, and we're about to have a lose-lose-lose because there'll be no diesel fuel. You don't have to worry about diesel fuel emissions. I think I'd take the concern about the emissions as long as we keep our country rolling and moving. And Europe is going to be hit harder and sooner than us. And parts of our nation will be hit harder and sooner than other parts. But at this rate, it does not look good. The road leads to a dead end. Thank you, President Biden. Coming up, Musk is in charge of Twitter. And suddenly, Twitter is all a Twitter.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Freebird. Elon Musk has officially taken over control of Twitter, ending months of legal disputes with a $44 billion check he cut. He is bringing big changes on day one. He fired the social media giant's top three executives who were reportedly escorted out of the building. What's the first thing he's got to do?
Well, he's going to talk to the employees today. And probably reiterate about how this is going to be an open platform. He's also got to reassure advertisers that he's not going to destroy the site, that it is truly going to be neutral in terms of opinions on it and not have the kind of blatant censorship he had with the previous executives. And no need to feel sorry for those previous executives unceremoniously left or escorted out of the building. The CEO gets a $42 million payout.
Right.
The CFO gets $25 million. Jack Dorsey, who founded it, gets $1 billion in cash.
Oh, they're going to be happy, and they should be. I mean, why not? Did you hear the report? I mean, did you hear listening to the numbers in the beginning when how much Musk ended up paying for Twitter? Wrote a check for $44 billion. At least that's the way it was phrased. $44 billion? That's a lot of zeros. What if they'd notice if one zero was kept off? That would change the numbers considerably. But now he supposedly has control of it. As you heard, he's promptly, according to the report from Steve Forbes, a media chair, CEO, said that it's very evident those at the top, they're going to do just fine. I'm looking at some of the other comments that came out from others that work at Twitter. One of them pointed out that, this is not someone who worked there. They're talking about how they hope Twitter is going to be changed because one of the things and complaints against it is that Twitter was shadow banning accounts. In other words, you would put something up and you thought everybody on Twitter would see it, but they would do it in such a way that you could see it and some of your friends that were on your Twitter account, they would see it. But it was banned from anyone else seeing it. So you thought you're reaching out to the world when, in fact, you were preaching to your own little choir in your own little bathroom or whoever else you could get in there. Well, one of the tweeters pointed out, I'm going to be doing this every day to see if anything changes. As of now, I'm still shadow banned, ghost banned, search banned. Twitter removed 1,200 followers today, as usual. Nothing has changed. I'll report again today. So Musk, in response, said, I'll be digging in more today. In other words, he's looking at those issues right away. And you got prominent users such as Caitlyn Jenner have also accused Twitter in the past of doing the same thing to her. Musk said, I believe free speech is a bedrock of a functioning democracy. That's what he said back in April, and that Twitter is a digital town square. He said, I'm going to reverse the ban that was placed on former President Donald Trump. Trump had said earlier this year to Stuart Varney at Fox Business, I have no plans to rejoin Twitter. He's still pushing his platform, Truth Social. I'm on it, but it's not really going anywhere, and I don't see that much coming back from it. But you got some other response from, they quote one whiny Twitter employee saying, let me see, what do they say here? Hey, Elon Musk, thanks for visiting us at Twitter. Hope you enjoyed your day at the perch. Just one question, was it fun to look at the faces of the people you said you'd be laying off? And another one said, what this shows is how entitled these employees are, how they feel untouchable. And that's true. A lot of these Twitter employees have felt that way. But the question being, with $44 billion paid, the question being raised to Steve Forbes, I should say, media chair, is there any way Musk is going to make his money back?
It's going to be tough to make this rocket ship work, get it really off the new Twitter, off the launch pad, because it was twice as much. Twitter was never a great money maker, even though it was founded years ago, never enjoyed the kind of stock market rise that other companies that were founded about the same time. So it's always been trouble. But if anyone can do it, he can. But it's going to be slimmed down, and he's going to make sure that he's got an audience that's real, to reassure advertisers.
Real is a key point, because he said he was sure that they were using bots. They were making up Twitter users that didn't exist, trying to make their numbers look better. He was addressing the Twitter people, employees are still there. I haven't seen any late statement. He was doing it today, but I haven't seen anything come down on it. Coming up next, we have to consider that when a woman is a victim of rape or incest, where do you stand on abortion? I want you to hear the story of an incest victim who wanted to keep her baby.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Final words about Musk taking over Twitter. Late word coming from Fox that Trump is again saying, I'm going to stay on Truth Social. I'm not going back to Twitter. We'll see. Because Truth Social just has not built up the numbers and taken off like they were hoping. And now if Musk is going to make Twitter a free and open exchange and stop the shutdown because they don't like what you say, then it may grow back really big again, and that's going to hurt the Truth Social group. But aside from that, again, late word coming out. I don't see where Musk has made his statement to the staff that he was going to. If they have, they haven't put any word out. But he's already said he's going to cut 75% of the workforce. And one story just surfaced that said that he cut the entire team of data engineers, all of them. So I don't know if he's bringing in his own or what the plan is. And, of course, also keep in mind they had among Twitter, like they do at Facebook and so forth, they have their their truth seekers or their fact checkers, whatever they are. And generally they're just people who have no training or anything, just They either agree or disagree with what they see. It's not based on anything. All right, this next story. I had tried to get the author of this piece, could not make contact with him in time. So I'm going to read pretty much what he wrote for The Federalist. I will stress to you, I don't know how factual some of the parts are that he reports. I don't say that I'm doubting it. It's just that I cannot and have not independently verified it. If it's published in The Federalist, I assume they did a proper job. And so the woman he's referring to in here, I assume, does exist, and her story is real. I've told you before that I want to save babies unborn. I believe that God's given me this platform, especially at this time, to do exactly that, save the unborn and protect the young children from this woke cancel culture and wants us to be at war with each other and with our parents and transfer and transsexual identities and things of this nature. So that I'm glad, again, I've got this platform for that. But I've admitted to you, when it comes to abortion, aside from the health of the mother, and you get down, and most states will accept that, but when you get down to incest or rape, well, then it becomes a difficult decision. My attitude generally about rape, if it's reported in time, well, then it could still be stopped before the development of a baby begins. If it's incest, it might go on for a period of time before the word ever comes out. And that makes it a little bit more difficult. And for women who feel like they've been victimized once and in their mind to have the baby of the rapist would just add further trauma, I'm not going to argue against them on that. That's definitely something they need to deal with. I will say this, that I'm convinced that God's providence putting Trump in place to then appoint three justices who would go by the Constitution, and when the Roe v. Wade case came up, they were there and could make a decision that that is not in the Constitution. And it's not. Never has been. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a strong liberal, had said the justices overstepped. They never should have dealt with it and made it a national standard. So now it's back to the states. And when it comes to incest, that's a delicate balance for many of us anyway. Maybe not you, but for me, I'll have to admit it is. This piece is written by Liam Siegler. He's identified as a student at Gordon College in Massachusetts with the Students for Life of America members. And again, I'm going to take the article the way it's written, assuming that everything is factual. And I'm not doubting it. I just want you to know I have not been able to get additional verification, and I can't get him on to talk about it. But he's talking about how pro-abortion activists present the practice as a consequence-free solution for rape, but they fail to consider humanity of both the preborn child and the woman experiencing the trauma of rape. It's as if they think ending the life of the unborn child will heal the victim's pain. He said, this happened to a young woman named Ayala. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. A-Y-A-L-A. It's a Jewish name, Hebrew. And she is now using her name and her story to advocate for women and the unborn. She's doing it on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I have seen that, so I assume this is the same one. Here's the issue with Ayala. She was raped at age 11. Age 11. She said, it was in the summer of my fifth grade year, I started being sexually abused. Progressively, it got more and more intense to the point where I was being raped pretty often. I was raped more times than I could count. This is an 11-year-old at that point. She's now 19. And then she adds, my abuser was a relative staying with the family. So we're talking about true incest, blood relative. The abuser was a relative staying with family, and that significantly worsened things. And she said, I just became a shell of a person through the ordeal. She said, I did not get to have a normal upbringing in childhood. Because of that, it completely changed how I interacted with other people. My life was centered around my abuse. And then at 15, she became pregnant. She'd been raped since age 11 repeatedly, and at 15, finally, she became pregnant. She said, I dreaded the idea of having a child. I had this man who was willing to hurt me terribly. What would he be willing to do to my unborn child and me if he found out I was pregnant? I was worried he would kill me. And she says, as the pregnancy progressed, keeping her baby became more appealing to her. She said, I started noticing mothers with their children. I started noticing pregnant women. I started noticing the beauty of motherhood. And she said, after I read material from a local pregnancy care center, I was thinking, maybe I could do this. Maybe it's going to be okay. Maybe I can tell someone what happened. The article written by Liam adds that tragically her optimism was short-lived. She experienced a miscarriage during a math exam while in school. She said, I went to the bathroom, had this overwhelming feeling of dread. I was crying. I never had felt that much panic in a single moment. And during the pain and panic, a school employee dismissed it, saying, oh, you're just having a bad period. Not long after this experience, she met her boyfriend. He urged her to tell police about what your relative did to you. She did. She was assigned a social worker who scheduled an interview with her abuser. He confessed. He confessed to what he'd been doing. But the district attorney dropped the case in a bizarre twist of events. She said, sorrowfully, everyone was confused as to why. But that was the outcome of my case, and that's the outcome for many girls just like me. I'm sure she's right. And she also said, again, as being reported in the article, coming out about the abuse came at a cost. Her boyfriend, best friend were supportive. Her family was not. She said, and I'm quoting her, my family was very angry with me for reporting because they felt like I could have easily not said anything. He was about to move out anyway. Your child is raped for 4+ years, and you do not want to take a piece of hide from that kid or whoever it was that was doing it. You're just going to dismiss it, her attacker or rapist, and then when she becomes pregnant, you still want to give him cover? She said, once he got out of my life, I found a newfound freedom. But she adds, I also credit my unborn baby, whom she named Rachel, for inspiring and helping me think, you know, maybe this rape isn't the rest of my life. Ayala said, I believe my story is important. I have the exact experience that many people use to justify abortion, which is, you know, an underage girl who got pregnant from rape, who's an unsafe living situation. She said, I hope I'm empowering women with similar experiences. Some have reached out and thanked me for my voice. She said, I don't speak for all rape survivors, but I'm just telling my story. She said, our children are not responsible for the crimes of their fathers. Not any amen to that. And she said, they're completely innocent, unique human beings from the moment of conception. They're deserving of the right of life just like anyone else. And she said, I just want to be able to tell people I loved my baby. I mourn her loss every day. Now, keep in mind, she was thinking about getting an abortion, but then thinking, maybe I will carry it to term, but then she had a miscarriage, so everything was, quote, resolved at that point. But not really for her, other than reaffirming to her that that child was also important. She said, children like mine don't deserve to be erased because of the way they were conceived or because they seem inconvenient to the rest of society. And she says, my advocacy has been shaped by my experiences. And the writer again, Liam Siegler, who wrote this piece, said, if there's anything that captures the essence of her story, it would be the name of the child she lost. Remember I read earlier that she said she named that baby? Rachel. In Hebrew, Rachel means female sheep. It also means innocence. Gifting her child this name was an intentional act of affirmation. Ayala said, Rachel, my innocent light, is worthy of a name testifying to how she was perfect, holy, blameless. She will never be forgotten. It's a powerful story. You want to see it and read it. It's in the Federalist. Abortion activists don't speak for this rape survivor. And, of course, in listening to it, if you want to share the audio, share to your friends and neighbors this part of the program or all of it. Coming up, we're going to turn the corner and focus on something else. First of all, the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Before I get to the Pelosi story, let me share some other things with you. There, Halloween, of course, this weekend, depending on when you go celebrate it, tonight, Saturday, Sunday. It's actually officially Monday. But there's already calls again at various college campuses and so forth and elsewhere. Don't wear anything offensive, such as if you're misappropriating someone's culture. That's what they mean as inappropriate. There's an Asian lady student that's being quoted by Fox News said, "I'm Asian American. I think it's very ridiculous for a school to tell a student you cannot wear other culture." She said, "I think it's kind of flattering when people do that because it shows they acknowledge my culture's existence." Another one said, "I don't think the university has any place in telling students how they should dress, especially off campus, but for Halloween especially shouldn't do that either." But now against that backdrop, against the backdrop that they're so worried about that, now that's at college campuses, and I'm sure the same is going to be similar to students who are in lower grade schools and so forth. In Philadelphia, parents got a notification for their first graders that whether or not it was supposed to be part of Halloween, I don't know, but they got a notification that their first graders would be participating in the Drag Queen Story Hour. Seeks to expose children to books, quote, with style, flair, creativity, reading stories who love diversity and acceptance. One parent's advocate said school districts across the Commonwealth of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, are pushing adult topics and concepts on children earlier and earlier, forcing families to address the topics they feel are inappropriate for their children. These decisions need to be left with the family. And I would say, yes, that's right. By the way, the Pennsylvania gubernatorial candidate, Republican Mastriano, said, "Our schools just need to get back to the basics of education." That's exactly right. So here we have colleges saying you can't wear anything that might offend another culture. And we've got a grade school saying we're going to let drag queens come in and give shows and read to six-year-olds. How did we get to this point in this world? I know the answer, do you? We walked away from God. I mean, he blessed us with this country and everything we have, freedoms and liberties. Just because you can do it doesn't mean it's right or good, period. And, of course, everyone gets all upset over something. And another example would be, Giselle Fetterman. Now, Giselle Fetterman is the wife of John Fetterman, of course, at the debate the other night. And she decided to start speaking about, at one point, we wanted to open up a pool to the public to right some of the wrongs of racist swimming. Did you know swimming is racist? I know what she's trying to say, but that's not what she said. Listen to her.
"And while we did not want the mansion, that mansion came with the pool, and the pool I wanted. And the dream was to open this pool and make it a public pool, turn it into the people's pool, and ensure that young people across Pennsylvania could learn how to swim and learn water safety and kind of work to right some of the wrongs. You know, historically, swimming in America is very racist. And usually when you look at drowning statistics, that usually affects children of color because of lack of access."
Now, I'm not going to discount everything she said, because, yes, that's true. There are neighborhoods and areas where they don't have swimming pools for the kids. But many communities now have, even in minority neighborhoods or minority cities, majority minority, which is kind of redundant and kind of confusing, isn't it? But they build swimming pools, and for all kids. They're not just whites only. They're for any kid. But Andrew in Chicago called my attention that today. He says, well, now swimming is racist? Because that's really what she also said. Swimming is racist. Now, if you're building a pool and you're keeping out a certain minority or color of person, be they white, yellow, black, red, whatever, then that's being racist. But just the swimming act isn't. And I think it's good that they learn how to swim, because too many kids get in a pool, they don't know how, or they get into water and then they should never have been in the water. So all that can be good. But this is just another attempt to try to, what can we find to label racist? I've got an answer that you're not going to like coming up in a moment. But before I do that, I mentioned Nancy Pelosi's husband. Now, I want to stress to you, I'm glad he's okay, but a guy with a hammer got inside their house, broke in apparently, and attacked the 82-year-old Pelosi. He's going to be okay, but at the time he was attacking him, he kept shouting, where's Nancy, where's Nancy? He was going to tie Paul up till Nancy got home. She's in D.C., wasn't going to be home for a while, but again, he's going to be okay. So one of my listeners wrote, so the guy used a hammer. Well, then we need to outlaw hammers. Pelosi wants to outlaw guns. Let's outlaw hammers. Yeah, I got you. I got you. And then I added, well, if we do that, then we'll have to use the butt of a pistol to hammer nails. So we're back to the gun again. And to the point of the swimming being racist, I said, you haven't heard anything yet. Are you aware that mermaids, now want to compete against boy swim teams? That ain't right. As always, thanks for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.